All right. Well, good morning to you again. If you open your Bibles to Exodus 28, I want to talk to you this morning. God kind of laid this on my heart. It's basically our theme verse for senior patriots, which is Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. That's been our theme scripture verse for the season, and we touch bases with it just a little bit each Saturday morning, but it's so brief that we really don't get into it in any detail, and we won't either this morning either. However, I just wanted to point out a few things and things about wisdom and maybe what they mean, and maybe get a little different point of view of what wisdom is and should be. You know, we live in a day and time that people don't really want to hear about Jesus. You and I look at it and we think it's probably the worst times in history, but when we look back, this is really not as bad as it has been in the past, and it's not as bad as it's going to be in the future. Amen. If the Lord tarries, then it's going to continue to get worse and worse. So with that being said, then I think it'd be wise for us to have a better understanding of what the Lord is talking about when he's talking about walking wisdom towards them that are without. So that's a little bit what I want to look at this morning. It's something simple, and maybe to keep me out of trouble with the preacher, amen? So thought maybe we'd look at that this morning. So if you open your Bibles to Exodus 28, we're going to look at verse 3. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now here in this setting here, we know that Moses has been given the law. God has already given instructions as to how he wants the sanctuary. And now he's given instruction to Moses here, and he's telling Moses how the garments of Aaron's are to be manufactured, how he wants them to be made, and everything about the tabernacle and everything about the garments of Aaron. We have to remember, and the reason I'm bringing this up is for us to get a good look at wisdom. We need to understand a little bit about where it's coming from. And this is the first use of the word wisdom in Scripture. Is used almost 200 times. It's used 199 times in Scripture. And that's a lot. So if the word is used that many times, it must have something, some meaning to us, right? It's something that God is wanting us to see or understand. So here in the setting here, we see that Aaron's garments are being made. And it's important. Every detail, every little detail of the garments, and we're not going to get into that this morning, but every detail of the garments had a purpose and a reasoning. And I don't know if you've ever done a study on it or not, but it's an awesome study. When you get to studying about the ephod that's on the chest of the priest, remembering now, the priest is representing to us the Lord Jesus, amen? Today we have Jesus himself, so he is our high priest. But at this time, they're setting up the office of the high priest, and on his chest, he's wearing the stones of the 12 tribes of Israel. And what touched me about that was the fact that he's wearing them on his chest, right over his heart. You know, God is letting us know that we, or Israel at that time, and we as well, we're on his heart continually. You know, that's a blessing when you get to studying that and you get to reading that and you come to the understanding that we are heavy on God's heart continually, just all the time, day and night. We don't think about that very often, do we? We feel like we're all alone and we're left out in the world. Well, that's not the case. We are on God's heart. But when we hear the word wisdom, when I first mentioned the word wisdom, we walk in wisdom. I don't know about you, but the first thing that comes to my mind is what we know as wisdom, what we gain as in time, right? As we grow and we do things. I mean, if you was to shut your hand in the car door, you'll become wise to that, and you probably won't do that again next week, right? And when we think of wisdom, Most of us, that's what we think of. We think of wisdom that we, in time, through experiences, things that we have gained. And what I want to try to show you today is that's not the wisdom that God is talking about. Now, we do grow in wisdom, or prayerfully we do. You know, most of it is really common sense, but we do grow from day to day as we get older and we become wiser in things of the world. But I'm going to try to show you today how this wisdom is a godly wisdom. It's not a worldly wisdom. And it's important that we get that. It's important that we understand that. So when we look at the word, let's go back and let's just look at this sentence one more time. And thou shalt speak unto all that are what? Wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom. So this is a wisdom of the heart. This is the wisdom that God has given. This is the wisdom that God has filled in each and every person. And mainly talking about the saved, amen? And we'll come across that in a few moments. But this is talking about those that are saved. If we back up to our theme verse, it says walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Without what? We're talking about those that are without Christ. So here we see that wise-hearted, we see that the wisdom God is talking about here is the wisdom of the heart. Now we see here that Aaron, it also says that Aaron was consecrated. He's being consecrated unto God. And what's consecrated? He's talking about he's being set apart. Well, you know, understand that each and every one of us, as we've become believers in Christ, we are set apart. We are set apart for a sole purpose in the Lord Jesus. And every one of us is given some type of wisdom. It doesn't matter whether it be. If we read on here, we'll see that. Let me just read this verse again. Just so you understand where I'm coming from. It says, and thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. So what are they going to do with the wisdom that God's given them? They're going to make the garments for Aaron. So here we also see that wisdom is used as a tool, isn't it? He's given them the ability through wisdom to do something. So us, when we grow up and we become tradesmen, that's an ability that we use, right? It doesn't matter whether we're a carpenter or electrician or a preacher or whatever the case may be. It's an ability. But every one of those abilities are given by God. You know, sometimes we think that we learn these things on our own, and that's not necessarily so. That's not so. Everything that we do, and we're going to look at that in a few minutes. We're going to go to the book of Job. But everything that we do and all the abilities that we have are God-given abilities. For example, we have some that can sing. Miss Sister Molly just sang for us. That is a God-given ability that God has given Sister Molly. And if you don't think so, I'll sing for you. Amen? God did not give me that ability, okay? So for me to try to do that on my own, then I'm stepping outside of the wisdom in which God had given me. So it wouldn't be wise for me to do that. So we're going to let Sister Molly do the singing, amen? And there's several others of you in here that are very good singers, and you do a super job. But if I try to step into that realm, I'm going to be in trouble, you know? You know, maybe me and the preacher do a duet for you, amen? That would be a mess, wouldn't it? Neither one of us can sing. So that's not the ability. That's not the wisdom that God has given to us. So we need to keep these things in mind. And so anyhow, I want to move over now to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. Keep my paper straight here. I'll be all messed up here. I'm trying to stay on task this morning. 1 Kings chapter 4. It says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceedingly much, and largest of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. So we see here, again, we're using the word heart, largest of heart. Now, and we know the story of Solomon, and we know that Solomon was very wise. God had given him much wisdom. He, well, it says here, the wisdom as of the sea. So I guess he's given him an ocean full of wisdom, amen? That's a lot of wisdom. It's wisdom that you and I, most likely, we can't comprehend. I can't comprehend the kind of wisdom that he had. It was a vast amount. But I do know that even in all the wisdom that Solomon had, what happened to with all the riches and spoils, everything that Solomon had gathered through the wisdom God had given to him, what happened? The moment he took his eyes off of God, the moment he turned to what? Worldly wisdom. What happened to Solomon? He fell, didn't he? And it's the same way with you and I. We got the wisdoms that God given us. And we go throughout the world every day out here, and it's a battle. And we have struggles, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to do this and that, and how we're going to overcome the problems that we have every day. Now, our problem is that we don't seek God's wisdom in the matter. We try to deal with everything in a worldly wisdom. And when Solomon, as soon as he turned to his own wisdom, into the wisdom of the world, he fell. So we see how all the riches and the wisdom that God gave him, it became a snare to him because of the worldly wisdom. And that's the same things that we have to watch out for. God has given us examples in the Bible. All throughout the Bible, God has given us examples of wisdom. And we need to take those the examples that God has given us, and we need to apply those examples to our lives. So when we talk about wisdom, most of us still don't have an understanding of what true wisdom is. We automatically assume and we automatically think of the wisdom and knowledge that we have gained throughout the years. That's the first thing every one of us turn to. So it's a continuous battle every day that we've got to fight. And so when I picked that theme verse for Senior Patriots this year, I picked it for a purpose. I picked it because in the day that we live in the time that we live in, if we don't walk in wisdom, then we create a lot more problem than what we would if we'd follow the things of the Lord. We create problems for ourselves, just like Solomon did here. Solomon, long as he was in the Lord's wisdom, he was doing great. But as soon as he took his eyes off of God and put them on himself, he fell. So that's the reason I picked that verse, is that we need to learn what wisdom is. We need to learn through the scriptures what God is speaking to our hearts. So now let's go to Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6. It says in Job chapter 6 and verse 13, "Is not my help in me, and is wisdom driven quiet from me?" Job here, you know the story. When you get to chapter 6 in Job at this time, Job has already lost his family. He's lost all of his wealth. He's basically lost everything that he has. But we understand now, because we're looking back in the past, and we can look and we can see and we know and understand that God has taken down the hedge of protection that he had around Job, and he's allowed Satan into Job's world. And you and I know today, because we look back through Scripture, but we can see that this is a battle between God and Satan. It has nothing to do with Job. Job's just a pawn involved in the battle. So in the midst of all that, Job has lost everything he has. So put yourself in the place of Job. Would you not be asking yourself the same things? The same question that Job has just applied. Wouldn't you be asking yourself the same thing in the midst of all the turmoil? I mean, if your world just fell apart, like we see so many times, we've just had an example of that a week or so ago. People's worlds just fall apart, just like that. Just in an instant, things change. And then we can be asking ourselves the same question. Well, we turn over to Job chapter 12 and verse 16. Job answers that question himself. It says, "With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his." Whose? God's. You understand what Job realized? Job realized that he's being deceived. He's come to understand that. But he also understands the fact that the deceiver and the one doing the deceiving, himself and the devil, both belong to who? God. God's the creator of all things. So what's Job really trying to tell us here? Job's trying to tell us here that he's come to the understanding that God's in control. God's in control of everything, good and bad. He has a handle on it. We don't. But in his ultimate wisdom, he knows what's going on. Job didn't understand the battle. He didn't understand what was going on. All he knew is that his life was turned upside down. And that's all he can see. He's living in the moment. God knows tomorrow. God knows the whole picture. God knows that this battle was for God's glory. This battle was for God's glory. You know, you and I today can look back and see the victory that was won in that battle. Amen? Without that, you and I wouldn't have that. We wouldn't be able to turn back through scriptures. And we have to remember at this time, Job didn't have a Bible. You know, he didn't have a Bible. You and I can go to the Bible. We can get wisdom. We can do like Solomon did. First of all, we can pray for it. Amen? We can pray and we can ask God to give us wisdom. And we can go to the scriptures and we can search and we can find God's true wisdom if we have a desire to do so. But we have to have that desire. You know, it's important that each and every one of us seek God's wisdom. You know, sometimes, you know, just like the preacher always says, he wishes you could just open up your head and just pour it in the top, right? Wouldn't that be good if we could just pour it in there? You know, but it doesn't work that way. You have to seek that wisdom. It has to be each individual. We have a personal Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every life is individual. Every life is between you and the Lord Jesus. And it's up to you to seek that wisdom. I can't seek the wisdom for you. You know, the preacher can't seek it for me. I know sometimes he wishes he could pour it in me, you know. But we have to seek that wisdom on our own. And Job has come to the understanding here is that nothing goes before God. Nothing is done that God doesn't know about. It's all in his will. It's all in his control. It's all in his power. And it's all in his ultimate wisdom. Everything that takes place. Now let's look at Ephesians 6:12. Let's turn over there. Ephesians 6:12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Folks, that's the battle that Job was in. That's the battle that you and I are in. Amen. Every day. You know, when you get up in the morning, you know, sometimes we get saved and praise God for that, and praise God that we've got a Savior, and praise God that he loved it enough that he sent the Lord Jesus to die for us. But once we get saved, we just think everything's going to be honky-dory. And that's not the case. It's a spiritual battle. It's a warfare. And Scripture tells us that we need to be prepared for that battle. The Scripture tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Amen? And it starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're going to gain wisdom, that wisdom is ultimately going to start with the Lord Jesus. If you want an example of worldly wisdom, look at the White House. That's worldly wisdom. It's like a three-ring circus, isn't it? That's the worldly wisdom. But when we're talking about the wisdom of God, we're talking about God's wisdom. We're talking about his ultimate wisdom. So we're in this battle every day. So you and I, in order for us to succeed in the world and get through our day on a daily basis, we need to seek God's face every morning. We need to seek the wisdom that only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can turn to our Lord and our Savior every morning before God and ask for his wisdom to be on our lives. Ask him to direct our paths. And you say, well, what's really so important about that in that theme verse? Well, you and I are on the front line. We're the light of the world. We're the light. The light of the Lord Jesus shines in each and every one of us. And if it doesn't shine in us, then it's not going to shine, is it? So it's in us that light shines. So when we go out into the world every day and we go into this spiritual battle that we're reading here in Ephesians 6, then if we're not prepared, what kind of an example do we set for the others around us? You know, let me just give you a couple simple little examples. Let's say you went to a restaurant today, which I know a lot of you would do. here right after the services. You're going to take off to Manny's or Sonny's or McDonald's or whatever the case may be. And let's just say you get a waitress that does a really, really bad job. It happens, right? And you've all had one, right? Amen. I get them every time I go. I'm just blessed that way. Amen. I go to the finest restaurant in the world, I'll get the worst waitress to ever walk. That's just the way it is. But have you ever thought maybe there's a reason that waitress couldn't wait on you today? Have you ever thought maybe there's something going on in that person's life? Maybe she had just lost a child. Maybe she just lost a parent, or maybe her husband left. You know, maybe her family's on drugs, or maybe she has a child that's on drugs. You know, we don't know the situation. But we, being Christians, are the ones that's supposed to set the example, right? So if we took some of God's wisdom, let me ask you this. When Jesus was here on the earth, how did he treat the people around him? How did he treat the lost? Was he mean to them? Was he ugly? Was he nasty? How about the ones that was driving the nails in his hands? What did he say? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think about that. The nails was driven in his hands for your cause, for your salvation. And yet he loved the Roman soldier that was driving the nail in his hand. When we go out to that restaurant, we need to consider that person might be having a spiritual battle. Maybe it's an unsaved person that has no wisdom. Amen? Without Christ, you have nothing but worldly wisdom. So maybe that person is just in a constant struggle. And then what do? Leave a zero tip? Or maybe we have some harsh words? Then maybe it would be better if we was to take some of God's wisdom and reach it in our pocket and pull out a track and put a $10 bill in there and lay it on the table. Maybe that person would pick it up, that $10 tip, knowing that it was undeserving. Our salvation was kind of undeserving, was it not? Maybe they'll pick that up and read that track. And maybe that would change their life. All because that we would take time to get a little godly wisdom in our lives. And you see where I'm going with that now? See, this is the difference that wisdom can make to each and every one of us and to the world. But if we go out here gung-ho and just try to shoot everybody down like it doesn't matter, that's worldly wisdom. That's not godly wisdom. That's not the wisdom that God has given us. So when we read that verse, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time, that's what God's talking about. God is talking about, let's take some of the godly wisdom that we get through scriptures. And every time we read about wisdom in here, every time we've read about it this morning, it applies to the heart. Wisdom that God has put in each and every one of us only comes through God. And we gain that through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it all starts. And we get that in our heart. And honestly, our Christianity shouldn't start and stop here in this church. This is the beginning for many of us. Many of us come here lost and get saved. But this is our house of refuge, isn't it? This is where we come to be fed and nourished. And when we leave here, we're to do what? We're commanded to spread the gospel. So when we go out to dinner today, don't you think it'd be nice if every one of us took a little bit of godly wisdom and treated these people that are giving service to us like Jesus treated us? Now, and I understand, I know that's hard. I know when your rolls are getting cold and there's no butter on the table and you've waited 15 minutes, you're like, now my roll's cold. And then they show up with a smile and a piece of butter and you're like, okay, what am I going to do with it? My roll's cold. You want to throw it at them, right? But that's worldly wisdom. And I understand. I go through the same things you do. But we need to remember that. What does it say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, You understand that that's not our enemy.
Right.
Even though that person may even be lost, it's still not our enemy.
Amen.
There are people, if they're lost, there are people without Christ. There are people without wisdom. If they're saved, there are brothers and sisters in Christ. We certainly shouldn't be treating our brothers and sisters that way. And folks, this goes on in everyday life everywhere we go. How about a school teacher? You know, school teachers have a chance to make a difference in thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives throughout the school system. Principals. It doesn't matter what our job is or where we work. If we would apply the wisdom that God has given us, then we can make a difference in somebody else's life. We can turn the boob tube on tonight, and I can tell you what's going to be on there. News. Bad news. Because that's worldly wisdom. And if you turn it on tomorrow night, guess what? Bad news. That's what's going to be on there. And we can continue to fill ourselves with the bad news, and we can continue going on. And it's easy to get worked up in a frenzy, and you're going right along. You find yourself right in the middle of the worldly crowd doing and acting and doing the same things they do. That's how simple it is for us to get involved. Why? Because we're still in the flesh. We can do just like Solomon. We can lose track of the wisdom we're supposed to be following, and we get a hold to the worldly wisdom, and the next thing you know, we've fallen, haven't we? And the worst thing is, we lose our testimony. And once we've lost that testimony, it's hard to ever get it back, especially before the people that you've lost it before. So that's the importance of sticking to a godly wisdom and following the things of the Lord. We need to stick to the things He's given us. We need to stick to His way. I'm going to read a few verses to you. I told you there's over 200 verses of wisdom that uses the word wisdom. And I just want to read a few of them to you. Proverbs 2 and verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Not of His mouth, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So from where? The Lord, not the world, from the Lord. So that's godly wisdom. In Proverbs 2:10, when wisdom entereth into the heart, here again, in the heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto the soul. So we begin where? In the heart. The wisdom starts right there. Let me ask you a question. How does the Bible teach us that we're saved? One believeth what? With the heart unto righteousness. Then with the mouth confession is made, amen? So it's the same thing right here. That's where the wisdom starts. And you see, so when we get saved, let me ask you this. How'd you get saved? When you first got saved, what made you get saved? Did you fear God maybe? Do you have a little fear of the Lord? You know, the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Or the wisdom is the beginning. The wisdom, the fear, I got it all messed up. I've got that written down here and I'll find it and read it to you. Because my mind's working backwards right now. But I'm going to read it to you in just a moment. And in Proverbs 5:1 says, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thy ear to my understanding. So he's saying to what? Attend to his wisdom. And then in Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out. Maybe we ought to think about that the next time we get in a rage and we go to speak. The forward tongue shall be cut out. Proverbs 11:12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Think about that for a moment. If you're without wisdom, we're talking about lost people, aren't we? I mean, here again. Look at the White House up there. Have you ever seen so much hatred for people? And let me ask you this. Do you ever get caught up in that? It's easy to get caught up in that same hatred. Now, we know that cutting off heads is not right. Right? It's wrong. God teaches us against that. But are we to hate or are we to love? The Bible teaches us to love and pray for our enemies. That's not easy to do, but that's godly wisdom. That's where our heart should be. Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver. In other words, what's he saying? He's saying that wisdom is worth more than gold and silver. It's more valuable to us. Ecclesiastes 1:18. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increases sorrow. Let me make a little observation here. You understand that he's talking about the more wisdom and the more knowledge that you gain inside of you, the more that you learn. The more wisdom, we're talking about godly wisdom, so the more you learn about God, the more sorrow you're going to get. You ever thought about why that is? Folks, every one of us need to think about that verse right there. And we ought to all be praying for the wisdom that God gave Solomon. And then we take that wisdom and we apply it right here. Because see, the more we learn about God, the more sorrowful we become. You know why that is? Because we get a burden for the lost. And the more wisdom we have, the more knowledge we have of God, the greater that burden becomes. Folks, if you don't have a burden for the lost, then you're lacking some wisdom somewhere. And you need to get before God and get in the scriptures, and you need to be asking God for some wisdom. I don't know about you, but you know, I pray all the time. I want more and more. I want to have a burden for lost souls. Folks, we're not going to come in here and do the things that we need to do, run the buses, run the radio station. The radio station takes the gospel around the world. Our buses are bringing lost kids in here that need to know the Lord Jesus. You know, and lots of times we reach mom and dad that way. But if we don't have a desire to do that, then it will cease. It will stop if we don't keep that desire. And how are we going to keep that desire? Through God's wisdom, through his ultimate wisdom. That's how we're going to do that. We have to keep. And it tells us in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally. Folks, God will give you wisdom if you ask for it, just like Solomon. But we have to ask for it. And then we can't always just sit back. A lot of times we want to ask for something and just sit on our hands. And that's not the way we do things. We need to apply ourselves. We need to put our mind into the study of the scriptures. And we need to be asking God for the wisdom so that we will have a burden on our hearts for lost souls. If somebody didn't have a burden for you, where would you be today? You know, our pastor's had a vision here that God has given him, and he's got a burden for lost souls, and he's 80-some years old. He hadn't slowed down. He's going 7 days a week. He still has the same burden for lost souls. How does he keep that? Through wisdom, much prayer. He has a desire to see men saved, and that's where we need to be, and that's what's made us the church that we are today. We have people that come in here and they wish to serve God, and they have a wisdom and they have a burden to get souls saved. And that's what builds great churches all across the country. It's all because of the burden that we have for souls. And that starts with wisdom. So folks, wisdom is important. So when we talk about walking in wisdom, we need to remember that that doesn't mean that we need to be the Christian police. Okay? It's the preacher's job to take care of all that up there in the pulpit. He'll take care of all that. And the Holy Spirit will work on people. It's our job to love people. It's our job to get people in the church. It's our job to be a witness unto the Lord. We need to go out and spread the gospel, try to get people in there, and let the Holy Spirit do its job. God doesn't need us going around shooting people down, amen? Amen. He needs us to be uplifting people. We need to be raising up. We need to be showing the godly side of things. And that's where we need to be, okay? All right, God bless you. We're out of time. We're going to let the choir go out and get ready and come back in.